All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and you're listening to episode 134 of the world-famous West Virginia Surf Report podcast. Goes up, my friends. I hope it goes well. I really do. I'm having some coffee. It's a beautiful day. I got some sleep. I feel pretty good. I feel like I'm firing on, well, I don't know about all cylinders. Most cylinders. I feel like I'm firing on most cylinders. Which is, you know, about as good as it gets. Yesterday, I recorded this podcast. You know, they're never exactly the same because I go off on tangents, but I recorded a full episode and I listened to it on my way to work. I was like, I don't know about that. You know, I don't think that's very good. And I listened to it on the way to work and I confirmed, no, not very good. Not good at all. So this is a redo. The difference between yesterday and today is I got some sleep. The night before, I got like 5 hours, and I don't need to go into the details on why, because it's not very interesting. But last night, I came straight home from work, and I just instead of going down to my office and firing up my computer and starting to watch stuff, going down the rabbit hole, next thing you know, it's like 2:45 in the morning. I just came home, didn't go to my office, and I just started reading, fired up the Kindle instead of the computer, read a few chapters of the book I'm reading, and next thing you know, I'm ready for bed. So I'm in bed by 1, which is very early for me, and slept till 9. That's a good solid. See, that's a solid. That's the way you're supposed to do it. That's the way human adults are supposed to do it. Unfortunately, I guess I'm human, but I don't know about the adult part, because I don't know. I go off the tracks on that. I'm one of these guys who has, well, I don't want to get into all that. But anyway, last night I got some sleep. The night before I got none, or I got 5 hours, which is not enough. 5 hours is not enough. I was miserable all day. I was fighting. It's just fighting to just maintain, you know. It's not good. It's no good. Sleep is an important thing. But anyway, today I want to talk to you about, somehow, and I don't know how this happened, but I'm not complaining about it. I wear it as a badge of honor. I become like the go-to guy for all things toilet humor, body, you know, whatever you call it, bodily functions, that kind of thing. So if anything happens, like extraordinary, any kind of extraordinary event in a bath, in a public restroom, or, you know, whatever, the thing that is often said is, oh, we got to tell Jeff, you know, which I don't know. I mean, I don't know how this happens because I enjoy it so much. I don't know. I'm a 12-year-old boy stuck in a bulbous old man's body. So I don't know. I probably shouldn't be proud of it. I wouldn't say I'm proud of it, but, you know, I'm not unproud, you know. So when something happens, I hear about it, and I enjoy it greatly. It brings me great joy, right? Well, at least the 12-year-old boy that's buried underneath all this, he enjoys it. So anyway, the other day I was having one of these conversations. Somebody shares this story with me, and I don't know. It feels wildly, I don't know. Sometimes I'm talking to people and they tell me this stuff, and I'm like, I can't believe I'm I'm hearing this, you know. But anyway, so I was talking to somebody the other day, and they said years ago, when my daughter was a toddler, and I think the daughter is like in her early 30s now. So this is a long time ago. She goes, well, my daughter was a toddler. She and I were at the mall. And I experienced a poop pain. That's how she described it. She said a poop pain, and she threw up the air quotes. Experienced a poop pain, very strong poop pain. And I told my daughter, I said, we got to get to a bathroom. She goes, what's wrong, Mommy? She goes, no, nothing's wrong. We just got to get to the bathroom. So they power walked to the bathroom, and she didn't quite make it, right? She, for want of a better word, better phrase, she shit herself, right? And so she had to go in there and, you know, take care of, get everything back, bring back everything back to normal. And she told me, she goes, I had to throw away my panties. I'm like, all right, see, this is one of these moments where I can't believe I'm being told, you know. She goes, I had to throw my panties. And also, I might add, I've always been told, and I've learned this out in the world somehow, that women don't like the word panties. You know, they don't, that gives them the heebie-jeebies for some reason. Or many women, I guess. You can't paint with a broad brush. So that's the word she used. I'm just, all I am is a reporter. All I can do is report the news. I can't, you know. She said I had to throw away my panties. So then she goes, and then I had to go to JCPenney. And I love when people do this, but she goes, I had to go to JCPenney. No, wait a minute. Sears. Said, oh, well, I mean, I have to re-examine this whole story. I have to reset. Give me a second while I reset, you know. First you said it was JCPenney, now you say it's Sears. It's going to throw the story into a completely different trajectory, right? So she goes, I had to go to Sears and buy a bag of panties. I don't know, you know. And then I had to go put them on, you know. I'm unclear. I assume she just meant one pair. I mean, she said I had to go put them on. I mean, I don't know if she put all of them on. I don't know. That part's unclear. I assume she put one pair on. All right. So then they went home, and the little girl goes busting through the front door and goes, Daddy, Daddy, Mommy pooped. She pooped at the mall. She so much poop. So much poop, Daddy. She had to throw her underwear in a trash can. She put her underwear in a trash can. She pooped. She had to go buy a bag. Her poop panties. She, you know, all this stuff. Just going on and on and on. And she's like mortified. And the husband's just standing there blinking real fast, like trying to take it all in. So anyway, I was told that the other day, and I enjoyed it greatly, and I appreciate it. And there you go. That's another one for the collection. And they're all linked in my mind. See, one leads right into the other. All right. So that was the one from like 2 weeks ago. And that reminds me of another mall story, a very similar mall story. This one was told by my mother many times through the years, right? In fact, when I hear this story, it makes me think of family, all right? It's a very, very heartwarming tale. All right, so this coworker of my mother's, this would have been the late 70s, early 80s, long time ago. All right, so this woman had to have a colonoscopy up in Charleston. And this is the late 70s, as I said, and I don't know a late 70s colonoscopy, probably, you know, I don't know, probably a little bit more invasive than they are now. You know, I don't know. I don't know anything about it. I literally know nothing about it. I just, the thought of a 1970s colonoscopy, I don't like it, you know. But anyway, so she went up there and she had this thing done. Everything was fine. So that was good news. And then she said she felt completely normal, you know. She felt completely normal. However, the nurse warned her to not get overconfident with that because it can surprise you, come up behind you, so to speak. And but she said she felt completely normal. You know, I don't know. She said, I don't know. I wasn't getting overconfident, but I was pretty confident. I mean, I felt just like I did every day. So her husband was with her. Her husband took her to this colonoscopy, And they went up to the Town Center Mall in downtown Charleston. And they went up to the third floor where the food court is. And they proceeded to eat at the Steak Escape, which is a place where they make cheesesteaks, you know, big cheesesteak subs or hoagies or whatever you want to call them. You know, cheese, onions, steak, whatever you want on them, mushrooms, you know, whatever. It's called the Steak Escape. It used to be up there. I'm sure it's long gone by now. But anyway, so they go up there, and I don't think that's, you know, I don't know. I'm no doctor, but greasy meat and cheese and onions and all this stuff, not really. I mean, especially after you've been told to take it easy, not a good idea in my book. But this woman was getting all, you know, she had a swagger about it. She goes, I feel completely normal. You know, so she went up there. They polished off, each one of them polished off a large cheesesteak sandwich. And as they were coming down the escalator, the woman exploded in a spectacular supernova of liquefied feces. You know, she said, my mom, I mean, she told my mom that it was just basically just a catastrophic event, like something biblical almost. I mean, it was like unbelievable. So she had to go straight to a bathroom, and I guess it was just like every stitch of clothing, everything that she was wearing, her husband had to go get replacements for. Luckily, they were at a mall where there's clothing stores everywhere. So this guy had to go with the credit card and buy every stitch of clothing, that she, including, I think, her socks and her shoes. I don't think her shoes survived this event. And he had to go buy every, I don't know if she was wearing a hat. I don't know, maybe if she was wearing a hat, that probably had to be replaced as well. I don't know. There's parts of the story I don't know. But so he had to go buy her a complete 100% replacement outfit. And everything had to go in the trash, you know, everything that she was wearing, because it was just a full-blown, just explosion. And that story's been told many times, you know, around when we're around the table at Thanksgiving, you know. It's one of those things, you know, we tell, there's somebody, the traditional telling of the poop supernova. Could somebody tell the story of the supernova? Oh yeah, here we go. So, you know, when I think, like I say, when I hear that story of the woman shitting herself coming down an escalator at Town Center Mall, 1979 or whatever, makes me think of family. Sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. Whoo! All right. Anyway, so there you go. See how the first story. Is it happened at a mall. The second one, that leads into another poop story. It also happened at a mall. And then the next story has to do with a colonoscopy. See, they're all interlinked. And so this is a story that I used to hear over and over again in Atlanta. But this guy I used to work with named Scott. And the reason I heard it over and over again is sometimes he repeated it. But I also requested to hear it over and over again because I loved it so much. So he has these problems, or he used to. I haven't talked to him in a long time. But he used to have all these problems with his, like, guts, you know, his stormy bowels or something. Is that like a stripper? Stormy bowels? Anyway, he had this issue. He's always having, like, tests run and everything. He's always going to... He's having like all kinds of scopings and stuff because he had all kinds of problems down there and in his digestive system, you know. And so he was going to have, he went to this specialist. He's like, he'd go to a specialist, but then there'd have to be a specialist that specialized even more. So the lens just kept getting tighter and tighter. And so he was at this super specialist and he was in some kind of clinic somewhere. And he went in there. And he said he went in for some kind of procedure, and he said he walked in the front door, and there was this beautiful lady there, who was roughly his age. He probably was like mid 20s at the time, early 20s. He said there was this beautiful girl there, and he was like, yeah, you know, I might, you know, I'm going to try to charm her. Maybe, you know, see if she's single and maybe ask her out, you know, because she, he, you know, he saw her from across the room and it was one of those things. I'd love to go out on a date with her, you know, that kind of stuff. All right. So he walks in there and he signs in and stuff. And then, he finally gets called back into the exam room, and the doctor comes in there, and then, you know, that girl, the girl who he had no idea what she did there, he assumed she worked there, but he didn't know what her role was. She came in too, and he was like, oh no, you know. And so the doctor told him to strip from the waist down, right, and to lay face down on this table. And he said the table was not long enough to, you know, he said the bottom half of his legs were sticking straight out. So he's laying face down with no pants on up on this table. And the bottom from the knees down were sticking straight out on this table. And there's this beautiful girl who he was thinking about asking out on a date is in there. And she's a nurse or an assistant or something. He said, oh my God, he was already, this thing is like, you know, this thing's coming off the rails, you know. So he says that they proceed to, this is the way he described it. He said they twisted a flashlight into his ass. He said it was like a flashlight and they inserted it by twisting it. That's what, I mean, this is, I'm just reporting the facts, you know. Or I don't know if they're facts. I'm just reporting what he told me. All right. He told me they twisted a flashlight into his ass, and it had a heavy cord running off of it. So he's up on this table, and they put this big apparatus into his ass. And, you know, by twisting, have I said that? Oh, yeah. But so he says, you know, he goes, this is a girl that I was going to, oh, you know, this is already full-blown humiliation. And while they were twisting it, while they were inserting this maglite or whatever it was, the doctor says, oh, nurse, there's a little stool escaping. Could you please clean that up, please? He was like, oh my God. So she had to scrape poop off of him into this like metal container. It was like a, you know, stainless steel container. And she set it on this table nearby. So he's up on this thing. He's like, oh, you know, everything's taking a bad turn. So he's got this thing with this big cord trailing out of it, sticking straight up out of his ass. He's on this table. And then he tells Scott to, you know, hang on or whatever. And he pushes some button and the table like lifts. That's like, it's on a hydraulic lift and he's raised high in the air. And I said, what the, every time he told me, I say, why? I said, what, were you down at Pep Boys or something? I mean, are you sure you were at a doctor's office? He goes, I don't know. It was never explained to me why I had to be elevated like that. So they hoisted him up. He's like up in the air, way up in the air with this flashlight in his ass, with a heavy, like a power cord running off of it. And he's like hoisted way in the air. And his legs are sticking straight out, I might add. So he's up there. He says he's about ready to start crying at this point because of the humiliation. And so, you know, he's up there for a length of time, I don't know. And then eventually they lower him down. They release the hydraulics on the thing and the thing's going, you know, he's like lowering slowly down. He's in, you know, near tears. And his foot hits that metal container with his excess shit in it, knocks it in the floor straight upside down, goes upside down. So this girl who, you know, he was planning on maybe ask, you know, possibly if things worked out, maybe you could ask her out on a date, has to clean up his poop for a second time. And he just walks out of there with his head down, you know. And he said after all that, they couldn't find anything. It was like, it was inconclusive, like nothing. Didn't move the ball forward whatsoever. It was like, it was just a waste, you know. So anyway, I love that story. I had him tell it many times. I should contact him on Facebook and see if he could retell that story. Have him call the hotline, maybe. Retell the story of the hydraulic lift and the flashlight and all that. You know, I should do that sometime. But anyway, one of my favorites. And speaking of stormy bowels, I worked with this other guy in Atlanta at a different job at a bookstore. I always had two jobs up until California. In California, I stopped that. But pretty much the entire time I worked in Atlanta, had two jobs. And my second job was usually in Atlanta at this bookstore. I worked a couple nights, three or four nights a week. And so I was working at this bookstore. It's in Buckhead, the Buckhead area of Atlanta. And the guy who ran it was this guy named Charlie, right? He was a storyteller extraordinaire. I'm going to spare you the details on this. You know, a lot of the stuff I've already told you is gross. But what he told me about some kind of procedure that, you know, involves the stormy bowels and all these procedures that they have to undergo to try to figure out why. I'm not even going to tell you, because it's unbelievable. It's A, unbelievable. B, gross, really gross. So I'll spare you that, but I will tell you this part of it. He said he went to this specialist once again, just like Scott did. And he was sitting in the waiting room, and the phone kept ringing, and the receptionist kept answering it, rectal and anal, rectal and anal. That's how she answered the phone. The phone just kept ringing. It was like constantly. And she would just answer it, rectal and anal. He's sitting there like, God, you know. And so anyway, his story is, I don't even want to include it here. All right. It's unbelievable, right? It's like incredible. I had him tell me, I asked him to tell it to me like, I don't know, maybe like five times. But anyway, I'll spare you that. But I'm glad, you know, these guys with the stormy bowels. Hang on a second. Sorry about that. I thought somebody came down the stairs. I can hear somebody walking around out there. I can't record if there's somebody in the other room. I don't mind if anybody listens to it after the fact. I don't want anybody listening to it while I'm recording. I don't know why. It's one of my hang-ups, but I guess it was a false alarm. Anyway, so the stormy bowels, he rectal and anal and all that stuff. So that leads me to another story. And I think I told this one fairly recently. I worked with this guy just a few years ago, wasn't even that long ago. And he had all these problems too, and he had to have all kinds of tests, and he had to have like multiple surgeries, right? He had all kinds of issues with that, with his digestive system. I guess his digestive system was a lemon, you know. He got a lemon for a digestive system. So he's having all these procedures all the time. He had colonoscopies. He said he had so many colonoscopies that he got down to the point where, you know, he didn't even drink that stuff, that prep, that stuff that you have to drink the day before. He said that's for beginners, you know. He said he says there's stuff he can't eat. There's all kinds of stuff he can't eat, right? Or he knows he'll just, you know, it'll be a catastrophe. So the night before he has to have colonoscopy, which he has like all the time. I guess he has like six a year or something. And so he says he drinks one bottle of Miller High Life, you know, the original Miller High Life, that stuff old men used to drink in the 60s. So he drinks one bottle of Miller High Life, and it just like, you know, it's like an atomic reactor. It's like some kind of a, you know, splitting the atom in his ass, you know. And so he just completely, just absolute, you know, everything just leaves his system at a high rate of speed, right? And the doctor's like, well, whatever. I mean, whatever, you know, whatever method you use, I mean, you were definitely getting the results we're looking for. So that's what he does. He says he's got it down to a science. But anyway, he told me that he had this surgery one time, and they went in and had to redirect some stuff. I don't know the details, but stuff was rerouted in there. Something got botched. And he said after he got home from the hospital, he was having dinner. He had dinner, and he ate Hamburger Helper for dinner. I don't know. Once again, I don't know. Are these? I don't know. Sounds like... I feel like if I had something with my bowels or whatever, that I would start with maybe like mashed potatoes, maybe like a little applesauce, something like that, toast. I don't know. He went straight to the Hamburger Helper, according to him. I don't know. Whatever. That's what he told me. Then he said later that evening, he went to the bathroom, and he started peeing ground beef. He said there was ground beef in his pee. He was like pissing meat. This is what, you know. He was like, well, there's something wrong here. This is not good. The Hamburger Helper is coming out in his urine. He's literally pissing meat. All right. So he calls the 800 number. He calls the 24-hour number for whatever, some emergency, you know. If you can't get a hold, I need to talk to a doctor like straight away, right? So he calls that thing and tells them about it. And then he says, he starts, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? This is where, all right, this is where it turned into gold for me, right? He said that he started farting through his penis. At that point, I was buckled over in laughter for at least five minutes. That's too much. For probably a solid minute, I was gasping. I couldn't get my breath. I was laughing my ass off. And he's like looking at me like, I don't know. I mean, I was sick. I had to be rushed in for emergency surgery to fix this thing. I said, yeah, but you're okay now. You can't laugh about farting through your penis. What kind of monster are you? I don't even understand. It's like my brain does not even, can I even wrap around? I was like, I mean, how could you even, you think I'm going to be able to suppress laughter in that situation? And then I was pissing meat, and then I started farting through my penis. Are you serious? Do you think the 12-year-old boy inside me is going to let that go by? There's absolutely no way. So anyway, that is classic, man. In fact, the peeing ground beef, that's gold. The farting through your penis, that's platinum. You know, that's the highest level. That's top level. So that was great. That was just a few years ago. Somebody told me that. And this stormy bowels thing, it leads to some excellent stories for sure, but I am certainly glad I don't have that problem. You know, I mean, that would be miserable, you know. That sucks, you know. I don't suffer from that. I also don't suffer from that thing where I have to sprint to the bathroom. I don't understand, you know. I always hear people, they tell you these stories about themselves shitting themselves at the mall or at the store. It's like shitting themselves at Ace Hardware or whatever. And then they always say, I mean, it's certainly embarrassing, but I mean, we've all been there. It's like, no, I don't know. I'm never in my life shit my pants in a place of business. You know, I mean, that's not, maybe I'm in the minority, but it has never happened to me. And, you know, when they say that, I don't tell them. I just go, okay. I'm thinking to myself, no, but whatever, you know, whatever you need to tell yourself. And even Tosh, Daniel Tosh, he always says, as an adult, I have shit my pants 4 times, twice in my kitchen, once in the foyer, you know. He gives you the location where it happened. That's never happened. What is going on? What's people just like shitting themselves left and right? I don't understand that. But anyway, I have a cousin who is a truck driver, and he tells this story, and I don't know, he's a storyteller, so I think you have to take it with a grain of salt. But he tells this story. He said he was driving a you know, a tractor trailer, and he was stuck in some hellacious traffic jam in Chicago. And he, you know, he got the poop pain, you know, just like the first story. And he's like, but they're at gridlock. There's no forward motion whatsoever. They're sitting there. There's like cars everywhere. And he's got to go. He says he's got to go right now, you know, which is something, again, I'm not familiar with this. Maybe I'm a freak of nature, but I don't have these kind of issues, and I'm thankful for it. But he's like panicking. He's got beads of sweat on his forehead, you know. And finally, he can't take it anymore. He just jumps out of the truck, runs over to the guardrail on the side of the road, and just in one swift motion, pulls his pants down, hangs his ass over the guardrail, and just blasts it deep into the brush. And there's like all these people watching, you know. He just says he just like fires it off like a fire hose into deep into the brush. So, you know, how that didn't end up on YouTube, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. That's the story he tells, and it might be true. There's a, you know, possibility that it might be true, or some version of it might be true. And another story with him, which doesn't really have anything to do with shitting. But this is another story that I've heard through the years. This happened a long time ago. I don't know if this is true or not either, but I want it to be, right? Supposedly, he was driving a truck on the West Virginia Turnpike hauling a load of hogs, right? And he used to be a heavy smoker, but I don't know if he still is, but he used to smoke a lot. He's a large man, quite large. Not fat, just really big, you know, and he's like smoking, you know, like chain smoking, and you know, I don't know how he is today, but he was kind of unhealthy back in those days, I think, and so he's driving along with this load of hogs, and he has a coughing fit, like a protracted coughing fit, and eventually blacks out behind the wheel, you know. He crashes the truck, and all these hogs, some of them are hurt, they're limping, there's like hogs all over the road, limping hogs, like all up in the, they start running up the side of the hill and stuff, they're like all over, right? So he had some kind of coughing fit behind the wheel of a tractor trailer on the West Virginia Turnpike. This is a story I've been told. I don't know if it's true or not, but again, I hope it is. I don't think anybody got hurt except for a few of the hogs. So anyway, great story. And that leads me to the final story, which also involves a coughing fit. There was this guy in Atlanta who was, he was a receptionist or whatever. He answered the phones. He, like when people would come into the building, he'd sign them in and all the shit. He was at the front desk. And, we had a PA system in there, and he was very flamboyant, very theatrical with his announcements over this PA system. He would say stuff like, "Danny Davenport, you have a call on line 2, Danny D." That's the way it wouldn't be. "Danny Davenport, you have a call on line 2. It'd be a Danny D, line 2. It's like he was like very theatrical. He was, you know, fat, late 50s, chain smoker, extremely unhealthy. He had a gambling problem, you know, I don't know, you know, it's not good, you know. But he was up there, he would do these theatrical announcements all day long, and it just became a part of the background, you know. And but he would have these coughing fits, just like my cousin. And one time he went off on one of these coughing jags and shit himself to the point where it was halfway up his shirt. It was halfway up the back of his shirt, and it was on the chair and everything. He left. He did the long walk out of there, and he went home that day. And that chair kept getting shoved around that building. Somebody cleaned it up. I don't know who it was. Somebody from maintenance or somebody. But nobody would use it, you know. I mean, that thing got thing will get shoved into a different department, and somebody go, wait a minute, hang on a second, is that shit chair? And then somebody go, I think it is, and somebody'd shove it all the way over into some other, and it just kept getting moved around for, you know, a couple weeks. It was just kept getting moved from department to department. Nobody would use it. And I was like, hang on a second, whoa, is that the shit chair? You know, eventually somebody just hurled it into the dumpster and it disappeared. But anyway, we're at the end of this thing. So, well, you see, there's so many stories and they're interlinked, sort of. Like, you start with one, and that leads into another, and then it leads into another. There's a bunch of other ones that I left out. But anyway, there you go. I hope you enjoyed that. That was gross, but I enjoy it. And it brings me great joy. But anyway, if you want two of these a week, two episodes of the Surf Report podcast, more of this entertainment, just head on over to patreon.com. That's Patreon, patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage, whatever you call it. It's just a $4. You tell them, yeah, I'll contribute $4 a month to Jeff's cause. And in return, I will thank you by recording a new episode every week just for patrons. It doesn't go out to the main network. It's only for patrons. So it's a select few, a very elite crew, you know, like the Delta Force of podcast listeners. If you want to be on the Surf Report Delta Force team, head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. $4. You won't even notice it. Put it on a credit card. You won't notice it. I mean, it's $4, you know. And you get an extra episode every week. Every week. So do it today if you're interested in that. And if you want to be a part of the show, you can call the hotline. That's 570-290-8151. Again, 570-290-8151. Call it 24 hours a day. It's a voicemail system. And, you know, almost certainly you'll be included in a future episode of the podcast. So if you have a question or if you want to make a comment or follow up on something, do it up. 570-290-8151. Also, if you want to send me an email, you can do that. surfreportpod@gmail.com. All right, we're at the end of this thing. I hope you enjoyed it. Where are we at? Oh, man, 37 minutes. When I start talking about poop, I mean, it can just go on and on, you know. I mean, it's been said many times. All right, we're at the end. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I'll see you soon. Have a great one. Bye. I'm a 12-year-old boy stuck in a bulbous old man's body.